our listeners, our little
love them,
Quinny listeners,
our little queens.
I don't know what it is, but lately they've been just really sharing the love for us, and I just love it. Like, they've been really commenting on our things. They've been sending us so many good emails with, like, full of love and full of wonderful, amazing suggestions. Like, keep it coming, Quinnies. Love it.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's awesome.
Love that.
So good.
We just got a new bad review too. Oh yeah, it's pretty good. It's classic. Listen to the whole episode and hated it.
Right.
And I'm like, but you listened to the whole thing. You listened to the whole thing from start to finish. You can't hate it that much.
Straight up evil.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Thou shalt kill all of your
everybody's had a dog, fish, a tampon, and in the garbage. It ain't right.
The Bible you, pages, but you can pretend you like you were a dog.
Wow.
I don't want to. God bless America.
It's a cult. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hi.
So we're back at you with part two of Synanon. So
do
this
we
is,
have to?
We have to, Quinny. We have to. We have to finish it up. We have to tell the people how they go down.
Yeah.
This is like the best part.
Oh my God. I'm That's so sorry. True. I'm so excited to be covering cults, but like, I'm over having Synanon in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just get right out. So we really thought we were going to be able to do this in one episode. We absolutely could not do it in one episode. So we are going to finish up tonight. So again, if you haven't listened to the first episode, go back and listen to this one next and listen to the first one first to get caught up with us. So we're going to pick back up with Synanon, as most cults do, turning, taking the hard turn into legitimate criminal activity, which Katie is going to get into for us.
Yes, yes. So as we left off from last episode, them declaring themselves a religion officially, which is just outrageous. And in fact, board members wanted to know, okay, if we're a religion, well, then who's our God? So it became very controversial. To sum up, the lifetime rehabilitation basically was, by them becoming a religion, you therefore never got to, you don't get to graduate from a religion. So you have to stay there forever.
Hmm. Oh, so the you criminal, can never leave. You can never leave even so if you want
your
to.
Soul okay. Can't leave.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Don't you want to start a new, beautiful, pure life? So, okay, where to begin? So some criminal activity and accusations start to arise. Semi-disclaimer here. There are so many stories and cases and incidences, whatever.
Those are all right. Those are all right.
There are many, probably thousands upon thousands, but we don't have time, obviously, to cover all of those. So I'm going to try to the best of my ability, start to give you an idea of some of these things that started to go really wrong within Synanon. What started to be a non-violent group started to get a little violent after all. If you were caught leaving or escaping or feeling like you didn't want to be there anymore, those choices could result in violence and you could actually get beat up. And Synanon, in fact, had its own private security force, and they formed this sort of paramilitary group, which was known as the Imperial Marines. And they actually even developed their own type of martial arts, which was known as Sindhu. And by the late 70s, they had collected hundreds of guns. So they have weapons now at this point.
Stockpiling weapons here. What do you need that for?
A Synanon newsletter actually quoted, "We are concerned about the rising crime rate, and if trouble should occur, we are prepared to handle it." In 1975, three members actually admitted to assaulting a Marin County rancher. Chucky Diedrich actually hailed them as heroes for that.
I mean, these are just people who live on farms around, yes, like ranchers. Around ranchers one of their compounds.
There was a big thing. Yes. Anybody that was like close to the property, like another rancher was actually pistol whipped.
It's awful.
In Santa Monica, some Sinanites actually beat up two Black couples who had actually just parked their cars at a Sinanon apartment building. Diedrich's reaction to this at a press conference, like when asked about like violence, he said that nonviolence was just a position and that we can change positions anytime we want to. That was his reaction to these types of things that were happening.
You're going from, that was one of the two rules you had.
Exactly. He's just, I just can't with him. To make matters even worse, person that I think is really important to mention right now is Paul Marantz, who is really kind of a hero of this story in a lot of ways. Paul Marantz was actually first introduced or like heard about Sinanon through a gentleman that actually called him named Ed Wynn. Ed's wife, her name was Frances, and she actually had a history of psychosis. Ed actually noticed that his wife was like on the verge of having another episode. And so he was going to take her to a treatment center, but he had to go to work. So he said before, you know, right before he left for work, he tells his wife, go to this Venice family clinic and have them give you a tranquilizer to basically hold you over until I get home from work. And then I'm going to take you to this treatment center to get, you know, help. When she goes, so she does, she goes to the clinic, the wife, and the clinic suggests that Frances go to Sinanon. So she goes thinking that she's just going to have like a, you know, one-on-one counseling session with someone and get some help, right? Long story short, within minutes of walking in the door, she's basically being guided over to someone to get her hair buzzed off, like we talked about in the first episode. She was screamed at as a part of the game and told that her husband did not want her, that only Sinanon could help her. The next day, Frances was shipped by bus to a facility in Tamales Bay. She was told this would be where she would live. So then Ed, her husband, has no idea about this. And he comes to visit her thinking she's still in Santa Monica. And they tell him, you don't get to see your wife for 90 days. So Marantz is like, this is really interesting. And he calls the Department of Public Health. And he says, I'm wondering what Sinanon is licensed for. The woman on the other end in a really faint voice basically says like, Sinanon is not licensed. And he's like, what? Are you kidding me? How can it not be licensed? And she says, we don't get it either, but they won't let us in. Like they don't talk to us or show us things. Basically, long story short, Marantz pulls some strings and him and the husband go and pick up the wife. They get her. He literally managed to pull some strings. I don't know exactly what he did. He knew that Sinanon, you know, could be in trouble for trying to treat people for mental illness when they didn't have anything for this. And so he just had this bad feeling. And he said when they went to pick her up, he saw people in overalls and shaved heads, and he got cold chills all over his body and knew that something was wrong. Like he knew that it was bad. Whenever people would do media specials or any coverage, NBC did a special about concerning Sinanon things. And then people from NBC actually were threatened with their lives. People were scared every day to like even do just their daily jobs or go to work or anything because they were afraid that they were going to get attacked by members of Sinanon because they were having death threats on their phones every day just because they either left Sinanon, they wrote a bad article about them, they said anything about them. It became this, like people were being haunted and taunted by them.
This is why no one will touch Scientology. This is why people are legit afraid to come out because they make it their practice to ruin your life.
The threats got worse and worse. And even Marantz actually got almost killed himself. He went out of, he got home from work. He went out to his front yard to check his mail and he opened his mailbox and a snake jumped out of the mailbox and bit him in the hand. Okay. It was a rattlesnake that had been de-rattled. Talk about animal cruelty. Okay.
Mm-hmm, for real.
If you take the rattles off of a rattlesnake, they don't have their coil up for attack. So they just are on the attack constantly, like on the defense constantly. And it's basically just you kill them. They basically die in a few hours after you take their rattles away. So it's just
like their
awful.
Adrenaline is constantly probably right. Pumping because they're like fight or flight. But
he gets bit in the hand and he's hospitalized for 6 days. He's in the hospital and the doctor saved his life. He truly believes that and says that to this day that the hospital and the doctors and the nurses saved his life. But he knew from the second that it happened that it was Sinanon. And sure enough, after, you know, all the investigations finally do come out and everything happens. And one of you, Quinny's, is going to talk about the missing girl and so on and so forth. After all of that comes out, about does it actually, you know, do witnesses and the people that actually planted the snake in order to avoid prosecution, they actually
give
throw
evidence.
Some people under yeah. the bus, right?
Yeah, now. They say they're willing to talk about it then because they're not going to go to prison.
All of these, nobody knows if Diedrich, Chuck douchebag, Chuck actually D. ordered any of these hits. In a subsequent deposition, Diedrich claimed to have a, quote, very dim memory of 1977 due to a series of strokes. But he said, quote, most of what Synanon did in 1977, at least what I knew about, I approved of because, as I pointed out before over and over again, I'm one hell of a good executive and not too much ever went on in the organization that I ran that I didn't approve of. I don't know everything that went on, of course.
That's like not end a good quote. Flex, Chuck. Like that's not
no.
Like,
no. No. And no, we're going like, to find you out suck. You're actually terrible at business. So cool.
By the late 70s, they're in a lot of
trouble.
They're in a lot of trouble. Yeah, they're being the most investigated that they have in this. How many? What have they been up for 15 years now, yeah. Gwyneth? Yeah. Mm-hmm. At this point,
yeah,
yeah.
But like, here's the thing: they're also simultaneously getting children court ordered to be there,
right? Yeah. As well Still. As adults, as well as adults. Yeah, yeah.
But like, people are willingly setting their children still. Courts are ordering the children there. Like it was bad before, but now.
Right, right. It's really bad now. Yeah. Yeah. They started investigating them in 1964 is when the legal authorities actually begin to investigate. And so this is by 1974, they have some documents.
They've been watching. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Do you need to watch them for 10 full years though?
It's not, but it's not until they go for the tax exempt that the feds are like, oh, okay, watch this then.
But yeah. Like,
huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And witnesses had been going to them before for a long time. Yeah. Definitely.
And I get like you need to have like a strong case, you need to get the evidence and the warrants.
It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. There are people getting forced abortions, forced vasectomies, getting their kids taken away. Like this is not a joke.
No, it's not.
And I don't what's up with the snake shit? What is up with that? Like they did that in the People's Temple too. They had that woman who's afraid of snakes and they put her on stage and they had the snake crawl all over and she's crying. It's horrible.
Okay, well, so get this.
And like there's that whole like faith healing with snakes thing too. Yes. I watched a like, messed up
like
documentary about
in the Garden of Eden and the
so weird.
Weird. And really come to find out the only reason that happened is because really Diedrich was just too cheap to hire an actual hitman. He's like, yo, I want someone to kill Morantz. Like, who's this Morantz guy, right? You know, we talked about how he has the radio show. He would get on the radio and be like, who's this Morantz guy? Someone should break his legs, he's saying, right? And he gets mad. And so he wanted them to kill Morantz. And so they tell him, Diedrich, it's going to be 10 grand. The job's going to cost 10 grand.
He's a very humble
executive.
Guy
came
here.
Back and said, yeah, you guys need to take care of Morantz yourselves. So that's where the snake came from. They just decided to put it in his mailbox.
And then he says, well, I never told anybody to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, you kind of did though.
Like, no, did you say go get a rattlesnake and take the rattle out of the
No, apparently
put
Walter,
the rattlesnake into the mailbox. No,
apparently everything, he blames everything on his assistant, Walter Lubell. It's all Walter's. Everything is Walter Lubell's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yep, blame the assistant. Great. Great, great management, Chuck. Really, that's just fantastic. Fantastic.
Just
blame the people who work for you. Great, cool.
Well, at the same time, the kids are still getting sent there and they're also still running away. Barrel of fucking laugh. But in one particular case, we know that there's got to be more. But in one particular case, there was this 15 or 16-year-old girl and her name was Rose Lena Cole. And she was fully enrolled in Synanon when she disappeared. Okay. She had been court ordered there after repeatedly running away from home and then telling a judge that she used and sold drugs. Let's figure out why she's running away from home. Like, make sure there's no issue there. Firstly. Mm-hmm. Secondly, like, okay, if she's saying she's using and selling drugs, like fine, but maybe give her to an actual, you know, get her enrolled in actual treatment, like while in like right. a foster care situation, and not do your research, people. We have basically no actual facts about when or how she disappeared. We don't even know her true yeah. age. She was 15 or 16.
Yeah.
All we seem to know is that she could have gone missing anywhere between the time of the fall of 1972 and the summer of 1973. So that's almost a full year. During that year, she goes missing, which is like so incredibly scary.
It's like Harmony Montgomery. What are we even what? Supposed to do now with that? That's the span of nearly a year.
You court ordered her there. Like, were you or were you not keeping tabs on her treatment?
No.
Hello? You know? No.
They weren't.
So during that almost full year of time, Rose allegedly ran away from Cendenon, which could very well be true. But she apparently sent two letters to her family after leaving Cendenon. And in those letters, she states that she was fine. But one of them said that she was going to go live on the streets in Chinatown of San Francisco, and that she was currently sick with a kidney infection at that time. Also in the letters, Rose warned her family that she would not write to them again until after she turned 18. Because she was worried that the officials of Cendenon would find her and bring her back there against her will. That's within the realm of possibility, Quinny's, like, because they could have. They could have found her. They right. could have dragged right. her back. They could have made her life even more of a living hell. But we don't even know if she wrote those letters.
I tend to think that cults do this all the damn time.
Absolutely.
Have people write letters that are absolutely patently false.
This is exactly
and just right. say everything is great.
This is Haas saying, oh, Maura told me she wanted to leave all the time.
Exactly. It's just like after the fact, you're just like, oh, but then she sent a letter. So it's yeah. fine. But what doesn't make any sense is why we never hear from her again.
Fall right off
after
the
face. 18 just or fall not. Right like, off. We, nothing. Yeah. So like we said, like a few years go by, Rose, you know, would have turned 18. Her family never hears from her again. And Cendenon has never shared that she returned there in any way. And of course, this being said, we have no evidence that an actual crime was committed. Her case is still simply classified as a runaway. However, it is highly unusual that a runaway to be out of touch with any sort of loved one for that long. And her relatives would like to get in contact with her and verify her well-being, of course, but her case remains unsolved. Rose-Lena Cole would be 65 years old at the time of this recording. She is described as a white female. She's between 5'3" and 5'6". 120 to 130 pounds with brown hair and hazel eyes. Though she was at Cendenon, we do not know if her head was shaved at the time she went missing. In the picture, she has long hair. Anyone with information regarding Rose's disappearance or her current whereabouts is encouraged to call the Oakland Police Department at 510-777-3333. But what's really interesting to me in this particular missing case, there's not anywhere that I could find where Cendenon themselves, an official or a member or an ex-member, ever says anything about Rose's disappearance. It's so sad.
Yeah, that's awful.
It is, but it does. I mean, it definitely makes you suspect like how foul many play. Are there? Like, yeah, and exactly. it really does, especially sure. with just hearing like
how they
the beatings
the
and yeah. people get how badly you could. I mean, who knows if they maybe took a beating too far or what? Like,
just like how we covered in the Trouble Teen, or she very well could have ran away and gotten punished. After getting caught, she could have run away and got trafficked immediately. Like, or she could
exactly
be somewhere. We have no.
And it's clue. Like, oh, it's also like what we say about when we cover like the men and women in the services, in the armed services.
Yes, I was just thinking of Lavina, Quinny. That's yeah. so funny that you said
like,
that.
It's literally very much has that same kind of tie. Like, so frustrating.
Oh my god,
it's like really frustrating.
Yeah, and like, how many of them are there?
Exactly.
And
there, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's definitely, how do we know that there aren't more bodies out there?
Oh, absolutely.
We don't know sure. that they just aren't talked about or ever mentioned.
Please, fucking.
Here we go.
So, Chuck Cheese, as Katie Chuck was saying Cheese. Last week, Chuck Cheese. Okay, he's a really.
They have
smart.
So much money now by this point too. They're right. rich as yes. hell,
but they yes. can't afford a good hitman.
So, no, well, he was cheap, which is good. He can't be spending which money on good, frivolous but, shit, Carly. Yeah, yeah, he yeah, needs yeah, to yeah. have that in house. Okay, he's got to
go find a rattlesnake and catch it with your bare hands.
With your bare hands, you're not desert. Getting overtime.
Be innovative, people.
Just make it happen. Because Chuck, he's a really smart guy. Okay. He's really got it all together. And he is, I think Katie's direct quote was, he is one hell of an executive. So yeah. let's just remember that. So like we said, right, 1974, Synanon gets tax exempt status. So what does that mean? That means that you don't pay taxes. It's not that you don't pay. If you go to the store and you buy something for Synanon, you're going to pay sales tax unless you have a form that says I'm tax exempt. You don't pay in for anything when you're tax exempt as a religious organization, which they were 1974. They kept that for a total of 3 years. Okay. Three. So not very long at all. Okay.
No, but every year, right? Like you have to continuously.
So there, you do have to prove every year where your money is going. They're they're still going to look at your money.
Okay. It's definitely insane though, that they did get away with it for 3 years.
For like even 3 years. Cause they're they're not a religion.
No, they're not legit.
And they don't have a charitable purpose. Lifestylers, the people who were not drug addicts, the people who just wanted to be at Synanon, they paid to live there so that they were bringing in money that way. And Synanon itself had a variety of businesses. So they had a company called AdGap, which was an advertising business. They had the Synanon distribution network. That was where they were soliciting goods from farmers. They had a real estate development company. They had an investment counseling company, and they had military security training. So you could send your people to a weekend at Synanon to learn how to be your security force. That I'm terrified by that. I can't imagine. You go to work a security guard job and they're like, oh, we'll send you to training. You come, you pull up all these people in overalls in the shade.
Get down on the ground. Someone's
punching a kid in the corner and you're like, where am I?
There's snakes everywhere.
There's snakes everywhere. The Department of Justice and the IRS are like, really? You have a charitable purpose? You have six for-profit businesses under your umbrella. I think you're going to like take a few like extra looks in your direction, Chuck.
I think whoever agreed to this in the first place should maybe get an audit of their job.
It sounds like whoever agreed to it in the first place is one hell of an executive.
One hell of one.
One hell of an executive.
Like, it seems to me that they should just go ahead and shut the fuck up is what they should do.
This keeps coming back with Katie, but she's maybe right.
Shut up.
Maybe just shut it up a little bit. They start looking. They find that 1977 to 1978, approximately $7 million of corporate money was distributed to Synanon officials that were deemed, quote, salaries, bonuses, and consultation fees on their books. So that's just officers' pay, $7 million in that year alone. $2 million of that money went straight to Chuck E. D.
Of course it did.
I cannot.
And in addition to the money, Department of Justice finds non-cash benefits like a residence that Chuck called the home place. This is in Badger, California. So we're spreading out through the state of California now.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Badger, California. Yeah. We've got Tamales Bay, like Katie said, where there's another compound. We have Petaluma, where they're beating up ranchers. Don't beat up the Petaluma ranchers. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me? And they have Santa Monica. So they're just like going the length of the state. So now he's got this beautiful home that he calls the home place in Badger, California. So he's not sleeping in bunks with the rest of them. He's got a beautiful residence. He has a fleet of vehicles, including boats, planes, and motorcycles. Got to. How else are you going to get around if you don't have a boat and a plane and a motorcycle?
I mean,
all together.
All together. Like for all types of travel. Chuck also is charging for brokerage services for the money that he took from members and kept a cut of it. So I need to break that down for you, Quinnies.
Yes, please do.
The money that is coming in to Synanon from lifestylers to live there, to live their life there, and from people who are committed to lifetime rehabilitation and say, I am sober now, but I want to stay. Here is my life savings.
Yeah. It's like a tithe situation, is that what it's called?
Yes.
I think. Okay.
Very similar. Okay. Except that as far as we know, the Mormon church is not breaking the law, but what they're doing is Chuck's taking in people's money. Sometimes their life savings, sometimes what they pay to stay for the year. And sometimes those people would pay a little extra and say, Chuck, what do you think I should be doing with my money? Where do you think I should be putting my money? What do you think is the best decision for me to move my life savings to here? I have $15,000 in the bank. I'm going to give it to you. And hopefully you can show me where to put it. And Chuck G cheese turns around and says, sure,
and buy some cheese with it.
I can do that for you. But now that $15,000 is $10,000 because I have to take my cut of it for my services.
Because he's saying he's one hell of an accountant and investor. So yes, let's right. just handle all the fun.
So he is yes. like, so what this
a psycho.
Is, he's and a total it's psycho. So dumb. I can't express to you how dumb it is because it is just, it's just yeah. stealing. It's just not. He also took a 2-month vacation to Europe on Synanon's dime. On their books.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even try to hide it. Like usually when you commit fraud, you move money around.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he just on the same there. Thing, didn't he? When he yeah, no, he evading just, police, he just went on vacation to Vegas or whatever.
Like, yeah. He just doesn't care.
The grossest, that story, just another day, another time another for day. Warren Jeffs. Ugh.
A while so, from now.
A long time from now. Yeah. So part of the government's case against Synanon is, okay, you're openly committing fraud. You're abusing your tax exempt status.
Literally.
And you're promoting violence, they say in their briefs. And they get into like a constitutional challenge under the First Amendment. Are you inciting, are the things that you're saying, Chuck Diedrich, are they inciting violence?
This sounds so familiar.
Oh my God. Lenny? It's so familiar. It's like wow. something that's like playing out on C-SPAN like every like, day right
it
now.
It almost just happened.
It almost just it? Happened. The more that you get into this, the more it's just like this is the oldest trick in the book. People have been yeah. doing this for
a long time.
Ever.
Yeah.
Forever, ever. Synanon then sues the Department of Justice back at them. So like yep. the Department right. of Justice sues them. They sued the Department of Justice.
Great
they,
idea.
They lost epically, epically lost. The opinion is amazing. It's just, they're just massacred. They lose so bad because when you just look at it, it's just tax evasion. There's like the government has every right to be charging yeah. you with these things. You did it. It's just sitting right in front. Like it's just,
yeah,
that they line item, hide it. Like it's that line bad. Item of him just taking a cut of everyone's investment. Like, you're a moron to seriously. Wrote a $2 million check to yourself. Do you think that he like wrote the check and like with his left hand and like put it in his right yes, hand and absolutely. Then like cashed oh my it?
God. I think he closed his eyes and turned around and then
spun three times,
hopped on one foot and then cashed it.
Put his face you, on Mr. a bat.
Diedrich. Thank you, Mr. Diedrich. Like it's just,
did he mail it to idiot. Himself? Did he mail it?
So Jesus. They lose nonprofit status. And when they do, and when they are found guilty of tax evasion and the fines are assessed, their survival becomes much more in focus because measures get much more drastic. Carly's going to get into the fall of Synanon.
1978 is happening, right? December 2nd. Chucky D is drunk as a skunk. Why not? When you're the leader of a clean
sobriety place, sobriety. Right?
And he was straight up arrested. Quinns? Also arrested were two other Synanon residents, Joe Musico and Lance Kenton.
Those are the two guys who put the rattlesnake.
The rattlesnake,
in,
dude.
Marantz, thank yeah. you.
They were arrested. They pleaded no contest to charges of assault and conspiracy to commit murder of Paul Marantz. Lance Kenton was sentenced to a year in prison.
Yeah, I can't.
Somehow that's not making, the math isn't adding up to me.
No.
Personally. But guess who didn't go to jail? Good old Chuck. He got probation for assault and conspiracy to commit murder charges.
Yeah.
Because his doctors claimed he was too sick and he would probably die in there.
If you were to
put him in prison.
Bob.
Yeah, but Durst. Like, exactly. Like, but that's seriously the like, point though.
And like you also no one street. Cares.
So he gets probation. And part of that probation, it's like you're trying to discipline a toddler, but then not following through. Like that's mm-hmm. what you're doing. Condition of probation, he was barred from having any sort of affiliation with Synanon. However, he was still allowed to live there. So he was.
So you're still having living there.
Right. So you're affiliated. Yeah.
So you're fully affiliated.
So you're 100% still affiliated. 100%
affiliated all day, every day, constantly.
You're getting your mail okay. at Synanon. Okay. Cool.
Okay. But like, he's not the official leader.
You're in a beach house. On the beach, but you're like, I'm not on the beach. I'm in the you're beach not, house.
I'm in a you're house. Not allowed.
You I'm in the be beach
living
house.
In the mountains. Okay.
But I'm not on the beach.
No, I'm not at the beach. I'm in the house. Beach
house.
It's like when you have a picture of a window frame and the picture is of like a snowy
It's like the snow.
And you're looking out.
And you're looking out. But really, right there is the actual window, and it's the goddamn beach. Like, yeah. Get out of here. Yeah. Okay, you're telling me that nobody went to Chuck and was like, hey, what should we do today, Chuck?
Yeah, we call bullshit,
Chuck. You know what I mean? But allegedly, he didn't have any sort of leadership in Synanon anymore.
I'm calling bullshit on that ass.
Well, apparently, either he just really was doing a piss poor job, or whoever was quote in charge was doing a piss poor job, because Synanon kind of struggled to survive without him. Obviously, they also had like a really terrible reputation now because of like all of the things, okay?
Yeah.
That have been adding up for years and
years. Right. Totally.
So once the IRS takes away the tax exempt status, they order them to pay back $17 million in back taxes. And that's really like the last straw. That's yeah. It. Like it's curtains now. The court would actually finally rule against Synanon in 1984. In some ways, like to me, that's a long time from him being arrested in 1978.
Mm-hmm. Still, it is.
Like
it really
still a lot of time for kids to be abused in that time and, you mm-hmm. know, abortion stuff.
Definitely.
Okay. The court would find that Synanon did have a policy of terror and violence, and they had a practice of diverting corporate resources for the enrichment of individuals. Synanon would then declare bankruptcy, and in 1991 formally dissolved, though a branch of it still lives on to this day in Germany.
In Germany.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Like, best way to escape, start overseas.
They still practice, like, they still do a form of the game. They still do a form. I can't. Okay.
I have a little bit of what happened to Chucky D afterward. He's convicted, but he gets the probation, right? Because he's too ill. So he does eventually leave Synanon physically and move with his new wife, Ginny, into a double wide mobile home in Visalia.
Carly, okay. This is the Visalia ransacker. This is Joe D'Angelo. This is the same town.
No.
Weird.
No,
that is eerie.
Visalia, California had the Visalia ransacker, later revealed to be Joe D'Angelo, who then becomes East Area Rapist, who then becomes Original Night Stalker, who we now know as Golden State Killer. Michelle McNamara is the first one to put together Visalia.
Who they also tried to say was too ill.
Yes. Oh, come on. Give me a break.
Climbing the bunks, like it.
Doing like chin ups, whatever, in his cell. Yeah. Oh, God. Just such an asshole. Nasty. But yes, that's the same town.
He did die in 1997, a few weeks shy of his 84th birthday. The world is a better place without. The reputation that was like a little bit, you know, tarnished of Synanon really didn't follow through, because a legit congressman of the Bay Area, okay, would be a future Oakland mayor, his name was Ron Dellums, literally saluted Charles Diedrich on the floor of the House of Representatives. Okay. He says, quote, "Diedrich distinguished himself in the area of drug rehabilitation and amassed great wealth before his organization was associated with violence and tax problems. His approach to rehabilitating drug addicts has become a major paradigm for drug recovery and therapeutic communities the world over." And that is true, in the fact that now tons of abusive, manipulative, criminal, troubled teen industry organizations use the same exact tactics.
Attack therapy. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So, and also, Mr. Dellums, hate to break it to you, but if you're about to be the mayor of Oakland, do you want to look into the Rose Cole case? Yeah. Because she's from Oakland.
So,
and she, no one knows what happened to her because of this fucking cult that you think it's
appropriate.
And the Oakland
PD is allegedly in charge of the case. So,
right. Cool.
How about you also do me a favor and go into your bathroom and look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself.
Turn around one time, stop and watch. Ask yourself, where go can I find back. A rattlesnake for
get go a rattlesnake?
Leave find the snakes a- alone. No,
leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Seriously.
So, okay, so Synanon goes away, not without a salute from a congressman. Many, many, many cults and alternative therapies come out of this movement, if you can even call it that.
This led to our episode of the troubled teen. This is what led to the troubled teen industry.
Yes, that's the first time we heard about this. And we were looked into it and realized that on its own, it's another tragic story of people just being completely manipulated and forced into these situations. And really, if they hadn't had the kids there, I don't know what we would remember Synanon as, really.
I agree. Yeah. And honestly, I feel that even though that wasn't like the straw that broke the camel's back, I feel like if that weren't happening simultaneously with everything else, it would have taken even longer for it to come out and for it to become dissolved and like the whole thing.
And now it's regular. Now I feel like it's regular for these groups to say, beat your children.
Absolutely.
Like we see it all over the place. Like that, the way down workshop, Gwen Tanlin or something.
Oh my God. I know what you're talking about.
Her husband were encouraging people, followers of their church, to corporally punish their children. And there's a couple indicted right now for straight up murder of their child because they beat their child to death. Like, this is so devastating what he did to encourage people to beat their kids. It's like
Quinny said, with it still happening in Germany, there are also a lot of other therapy styles that went on by people who took elements of Synanon and used them in their therapy sessions. Mm-hmm. William B. O'Brien, who was the founder of New York's Daytop Village, he included Synanon's group encounters and also their confrontational approach in his research into addiction treatment methods. And then also CEDU schools use the confrontation model of Synanon.
Literally, all of this is based on fucking nothing.
Based on nothing.
Yeah.
This is not literally someone who has any scientific, psychological training of
nothing.
Any kind. And all of these people, it just has grown and grown. Yeah. And now it's become a regular practice.
Yes. And still is.
And there's no psychological and scientific basis to this whatsoever.
No.
Yeah.
It's just one dude talked out of his ass so much.
And people
not even a therapist,
training, and this is what happened,
and they just let him go. And you give people a microphone and it is so dangerous. I mean, look at us on the microphone, like, this is, you know, it's powerful stuff.
Are we quitting right now because
this this story is so horrible, and it really just predates all the shit.
And we didn't even cover, we probably didn't even cover half of the coverage of what this case entails.
We're on the head of a needle.
I mean, we could have done,
oh my God,
we could have done a whole series on this cult. We could do another
200 episodes
just on this. Stories. If you really want to take a deep dive, the Sunshine Place, it's really great. It's really so brutal. Good. But it is great. Sad stuff, but done very well. Yeah, I totally agree. Quinny's, any final thoughts on Synanon before we wrap this up? Cult one in the books. Smash season activated.
Hulk smash season. I love it. The only real final thoughts I have, we basically already covered. I mean, I'm happy that we covered a cult in general. It's a straight up evil that needs to be talked about. It needs to be shared. So many things, like we've said, stem from this sort of behavior and these terrible things that just snowball. But like, what the fuck, Chuck? Like, I can't, like, you just love the sound of your voice so fucking much. And people died. People almost died. People went missing. People
very well may have died. Like I said, that we don't know about.
Exactly. Many. Yeah. For decades. They lost their entire savings.
Like
multiple times, and you end out your days
in a double wide.
Exactly.
Just coming from a multi-million-dollar organization, and you
what was it all for?
Exactly.
Yeah. And some people were literally, like you said, some people were literally almost killed, like literally almost killed, like had their head bashed in so badly, their skull broke, like. Mm-hmm.
And are still going to be dealing for years with the trauma of being of a kid in that right. group.
PTSD, like not getting a formal or regular education of any kind.
Yeah.
You're setting them up for failure for the rest of their life.
Yeah, they have
and
no
on
skills.
Top of the fact, you know, people, a lot of people probably went back to drugs.
Definitely.
Or got into drugs in the first place.
Yeah, like kids growing up to be addicts because they're being ripped away from their parents for no reason.
No wonder everybody fucking got really fucking concerned and freaked out when Britney Spears shaved her fucking head.
I'm looking at it in a whole different way.
They literally were like, damn, is this bitch gonna come out in overalls tomorrow? Because I can't.
And also, Kevin Federline, get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
Get literally out of here.
Yeah, seriously. Go punch yourself.
Go into your bathroom. Look in the mirror. Like, come on.
And get out of here.
And get out of here.
Splash some water on your fucking face.
But we are going to get a Synanon documentary. HBO is gonna put out a Synanon documentary. And we are going to get put some images.
That's exciting. When are they doing that, Quinny?
I think it was announced just this past August. So August of 2022. The director who's doing it is Rory Kennedy, who did Ghosts of Abu Ghraib. Just all about like how we dealt with people after 9/11. How we dealt with prisoners after 9/11, just awful shit. But it's him. There's no date or anything like that, but it's happening. They're doing it.
HBO's got some good ass shit, man. I'm watching
documentaries.
I'm watching House of the Dragon right now.
I need another season of Mare. Okay.
Mare forever.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
Mare. Also, I'm like halfway through Dahmer.
I haven't watched any of it. I've been so busy, but also like I need to be in the right space.
It is absolutely terrifying. It is so gross.
What's
man.
It called? What Dahmer. Is it called?
Dahmer.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.